Hey y'all, I'm Whitney Scarborough, the host of Wits End. Here we are real people asking hard questions. If you think you hear the hum of a fridge or a train in the background, it's because you probably are. We are recording these episodes from the comfort of my home in a small town called LaGrange, Texas. Today I am joined by Jamie Moreau. She offers a refreshing perspective on local politics and how to engage as a follower of Christ. Let's dive in. Jamie, it is such an honor to have you here today. Give us a snapshot of your life and just help our audience to get to know you a little bit better.
Thank you for having me, Whitney. It is such a fun time in our family's life right now. So we've been here in Fayette County for about 14 years. We bought our place when I was pregnant with our first daughter. So she's now 13. Wow. Yes. And we have two more daughters that have come along since. Madison is 7 and Lincoln is 4. And we really enjoy being here. They are the light of our whole world. And we're so just tickled that the school that they go to and the friends that they've made and just the beauty of Fayette County. And it's as much the people as it is the landscape. So we're a family of 5 with 2 grandparents that live on the same property. And we just have a really good time together.
That's so sweet. And you, I know that you also are involved very much so in the local community. And I actually was thinking about this last night because I remember, I don't know if you remember this, but I remember seeing you at the grocery store and mistaking you for someone else.
Yes.
And bless your heart, I in one of my like stick my foot in my mouth moments, I remember seeing you and going, "Oh, hey." And I called you by another name because, you know, I thought you were someone else. And you were like, "No, that's not me."
I totally remember
that.
And
I remember walking away and being like, "I'm such an idiot. And I'm so embarrassed." And then here a couple months later after that, you show up in my Bible study group.
Yes.
And I'm like, "Oh, I remember you." And
for real this time.
Yeah. Let's get introduced the right way this time. Yes. And so you were so gracious with me. But so as a leader of an interdenominational ministry called Woven, we have women coming from a wide range of views and perspectives. And we've had to wrestle with how to address politics in our organization. So we want to dive in and talk about that a little bit today. Yeah. And one of the things that we say on the first day of Bible study is that we ask women not to debate politics or denominational views. And we're not saying these things don't matter, but we're saying that this isn't the place in the context of this Bible study to hash them out. But because we believe politics do matter and it's critical for Christians to actively engage culture, I want to bring you onto the show today to just talk a little bit about your role in local politics and hear how your faith has actually led you to a place of greater involvement. So just take us back a couple years to why you first became more engaged with our local government and why you're running for a particular office today.
Yes. So the reason that it's kind of a wild time for our family is because both myself and my husband are running for local offices, which is not something that we ever
recommended.
We might be the only 2 crazy enough to do it. I'll just put it that way. But we're finding ourselves in this place and knowing that it's God's timing. And we're very excited to see where he leads from here. And if it just becomes something that was meant to pull our family together in a unique way and teach our girls that hard work is valuable no matter what the outcome is, that will be plenty for
Absolutely.
Both of us. And so I do need to take you back a little bit because I am not a politician. I would have told you I don't like politics.
Yeah.
I don't like the ugliness that can sometimes come from that. And when you're seeing it on a national level, I think the media can really purposefully drive the ugly side of it. And I think it can be given to you in ways that are meant to be divisive, and they are meant to sort of give you this sense of fight or, you know, or sit down and be quiet. And I don't think that that's the way that it should be. And so I can either, you know, kind of stay at home in my bubble and hope nobody mentions politics to me because I don't want to fight with them.
Absolutely.
Or I can look at what is important. The reason that politics are important is because it affects all of us, and it affects us as a community. But the most important thing in this life that we're living is the one-on-one relationships that we have. And so I think it's worth stepping out into that realm of how are local decision makers affecting us as a whole, and how can we make sure that the relationship piece is not lost in that. And so I love that Woven and the ministry that happens there does say, hey, we appreciate the value, but this isn't the place, because this is a place of relationship building. And whether that's our relationship with God or that's our relationship with each other, we're wanting all of that to be taking place. And so we can't open the door to these things that can be difficult to discuss or hard to get on the same page with, because it would affect the relationship piece negatively. So to step out of my comfort zone and be able to run for a local office really only came from realizing that I needed to learn more about it, because how can I agree with people politically or even agree to disagree if I personally don't know what's going on? So before I go any further with that, I do want to say I know politics is overwhelming. It's overwhelming for me. Mm-hmm. The ballot has everything from the governor of Texas to local offices at the commissioner and justice of the peace level. And that's a big, diverse ballot.
Absolutely.
So if you're sitting there and you're feeling like, I don't even know where to start, you're already in the right place, because that's exactly how I felt and how I can still feel at times.
Yeah.
And so, I'm excited to share a little bit about how I think we as Christians can be involved in politics and still maintain the relationships that are so valuable to God.
Absolutely. Well, so I remember just a couple weeks ago, we were talking in my driveway and just about this. And I just, kind of asked you, okay, so Jamie, how did you get to this place? Because I know you're not somebody who I would have expected to be running for a local office. And that, I think, again, we're going to talk a little bit more about that, but I think you're not maybe a self-promoter in the way that I thought, I associate sometimes maybe wrongfully. And sometimes you see examples of that, but sometimes, you meet someone and you're like, you aren't the mold of maybe what I have expected. And so we had that conversation of how did you get to this place? So share a little bit with our listeners just about how you did get to this place of wanting to be involved.
Certainly. So I am both a mom and a professional, and I have really enjoyed the professional career that I have had since college. I was able to work at Texas Children's Hospital in a job that I absolutely loved. And with that professionalism and skills that I gained, I wanted to continue to use those. And so I have been able to teach school here locally, but I just did not feel like I was encompassing all that I wanted to, that I've gained professionally. And also with, God's been impressing upon my heart about the different seasons of life. And, you go through seasons where your primary job is your role as a parent, or your primary job is your role as a spouse. If there's things that need attention immediately, it should be the priority. And sometimes in your life, that's your profession. And I've spent several years definitely growing our family, and that has not been easy for us. And so not only have I been in the very difficult seasons of that, but I've also been in the wonderful seasons of that. And it's a blessing that I was able to focus on it. And as my girls are getting older and my youngest will be starting school this year, I have that hunger to be a professional. And so in looking for ways that I could use my skill set, I was also at the same time wanting to learn more about what was going on in politics, because I believe that this last federal election in 2020 was a big mess. And I could see that it was a mess at all levels. And I could see it was hurting some even personal relationships within my own family, my own realm of the people that I love. And so I couldn't just ignore it. I'm a peacemaker at heart, and I want to fix all of those, folks that aren't getting along or that can't agree. And I want to bring some common ground to that. It's just sort of my natural personality. And in order for me to do that, I felt like I needed to know more about it. And so I joined a political group that's here locally of women that keep abreast of what's going on with laws and who's running for offices. And it just really was such an eye opener. First of all, it's a great group of gals, and I've had a lot of fun getting to know them. But also, I learned a lot more about how people even file to be on a ballot. You know, that was not something I knew anything about. And simultaneously through those relationships and that information, I learned that the position that I'm now running for was going to be opening in a way that there was not, the current one is retiring. So she's been doing an amazing job, but she's ready to turn that over to someone else. And when I began to look at the job description, I loved it. And so I had to put aside my discomfort with politics, my inherent knee-jerk reaction of, I'm not a politician. I don't want to, could I just interview for the job? Right. I mean, that would feel way better. Is there any other way I could be considered for this job that encompasses a lot of the skills that I'm seeking to utilize? And there wasn't. And so I had a choice to make, you know, do I say this must not be for me, which would not be a wrong answer, but it might have been one that took less courage. Or do I say, hey, I think I can do this campaigning business uncomfortably, but stretching myself and counting on God through all of it and see where he leads. And then at the end of the day, I will know that I tried and that my girls saw that it's okay to step out and do something that you're not comfortable with when you know that the end result could be really rewarding for your career or for your walk with God or even for your family. So I think, wow. You know, again, they're learning and I'm learning and it's definitely stretching, you know, who I am as a person, and we're already better for it.
I love hearing just the organic way that God has led you to this present place where you currently find yourself. It hasn't been, you know, even one thing. It was really a series of things and you kind of walking and pushing on that door and kind of, you know, on the doors that opened and then kind of being led to a place where it was like, maybe I'm actually being called into this, you know, and I have an agenda, but maybe I'm actually being called into this role. Maybe, I don't know, but I'm going to step forward in that, trusting that. So that's encouraging to hear. So here you are today, voting is getting closer. You're running for this local office, campaigning against but alongside your husband for a different office. How does being a Christ follower inform how you campaign, how you interact with voters, how you share your vision for what this role could entail?
It's like I was saying, a learning opportunity, because you don't know when you don't know what you're doing. I think sometimes it's easier to rely on God. And I think that would be the place that I'm coming to it from, is I don't know all the answers. I don't know how to be the best candidate. And so the only thing I have to rely on is who I am and trusting God to help me be in the right places or say the right things. And I think there's a lot of comfort and peace that comes from just being yourself and being comfortable with who you are in Christ. And so where I know where my value's from, it's not getting elected. It makes an election a lot less intimidating.
Wow.
When you're hanging your hat on the learning opportunities and wanting to serve, God's going to find a way for that service to happen. And so whichever way he decides will be great. And I loved how you said about doors opening. I don't know that I've pushed on any doors, but I definitely have seen them opened and felt that I had enough desire to just take that step forward and see what happens. And so if you've seen my signs out there, you've heard my name or you've watched any of the forums and you've wondered, you know, wow, I wouldn't think I could do a forum, or I wouldn't want my name out there on a sign. You can rest assured that I'm feeling those same feelings and that I'm day to day saying, you know, am I being balanced in what I'm doing? And Whitney, that's something that was kind of a word that you had brought up, is how do you balance promoting yourself so that people know you're an option as a candidate, but also not promoting yourself in a way that says, look at me, I'm so great, or I really need your attention over here. And that has been a struggle, and it's been one of the bigger things. And thankfully, I think I lean more to the side of letting the pieces fall where they're going to, you know, and not putting myself out there as much as possible. And, you know, maybe my husband would say, you know, you got to put yourself out there more, or, you know, you're not doing the campaign, you know, justice. And so he's a different personality than I am. And that's one reason that we work so well together in a marriage. We've been married for 20 years. Yeah. And we know this about each other. I, like I said, am more of that one-on-one relationship person. And he's the kind of guy that will make you feel like he's known you forever. And he's the guy you want to call when you need somebody. And so he definitely has the personality for this, because he loves getting out there in the community and talking to large groups at one time. And, you know, the more the merrier for Craig. And he's really, it's been fun to watch him grow as well.
Absolutely. I love one thing that you said. I love your thoughts on being comfortable in your skin. And at the end of the day, that your identity is not based in whether you win or lose this election. And so therefore you can walk through an election without that being your hope, or without that being something that, like you said, that is going to really be the ultimate determination of success,
yes.
You know? And so, I think that's something that even just in this season, of the podcast, we've been interviewing and talking about how is the world's definition of success so contrary to Jesus's definition of success.
We'll be back in just a minute after a word from our sponsor.
Today's episode is sponsored by Eric Lehman at Thrivent Financial.
Wendy and I became members with Thrivent a couple of years ago, right before I went skydiving. And then she sent me on a ski trip by myself with some buddies. So I have the feeling that she wanted the life insurance policy just in case things went awry, if you know what I mean. Wink, wink, nod, nod.
Listen, I am married to someone I know is an adventurous spirit who I think you said the other day, if there's not a chance I could die, it's not exciting for me, or something along those lines. But back to the ad, okay? So seriously, we really are big fans of Thrivent. Not only does Thrivent offer a range of financial services from, like we talked about, life insurance to retirement plans, they also encourage you to give back to your community through something called action teams.
And through these action teams, they actually provide resources and funds to help you meet needs in your local community. So it's really nice. I am being held hostage right now, so this is a cry for help. Somebody help me.
Stop it. So if you're interested, look into a Thrivent near you at www.thrivent.com.
Help me.
And now back to the conversation.
One of my favorite books is a book by Tim Keller called The Freedom of Self-Forgetfulness. And in that book, he talks a little bit about how, you know, pride and an inflation of ourself and arrogance, and then insecurity and obsession with our own weaknesses is really two sides of the same coin, and wow. How our ego is something that either is always being inflated or deflated. And so one of the lines that he says that I love is not that he says in order to be a self-forgetful person, to be a truly live out gospel humility is not to think less of yourself, put yourself down, but is to think of yourself less often.
Wow.
And so I just love that even you're kind of saying that in, as you're talking about your campaign, you know, that you're not having to, you don't need to push yourself down. You also don't need to overinflate your ego or yourself to the world. You are being who you are, who God's made you to be. You know, your identity doesn't rest in that. And you can walk in that confident humility, that balance. And I'm sure that there's a, you know, that's easier said than done, right?
Well, it's daily. And I think that's an important point to make. It, you know, when I'm at the end of a long day, I have to remind myself what questions I should be asking. You know, am I asking myself questions like, how did I do? You know, was I well-spoken? How did I come off? What, you know, what did my hair look okay today, even though right. I didn't wash it? The questions absolutely. I should be asking are, did I present myself in a way that showed mm-hmm. who I am in Christ? Did I share God's love with people today? Did they feel better with that interaction, trusting that they're good qualified candidates to be in that position? And I think, you know, reminding yourself of that constantly. And we talked a little bit about whether people like you or not. And that's something that I think everyone asks themselves in some way or form. Some people care more about it than others. If you stay in a little pod of two people or three people, it's easy to feel like everyone likes me.
Absolutely.
But when you put yourself out there, as campaigning requires, now suddenly there's a bigger audience, whether you like it or not. And it is a daily reminder that has to be made in my own head and heart of if I'm doing my best work on a path that I know God put me on, then I can't really worry at all. I'm saying I can't worry at all about how I'm coming off or what other people are thinking. Mm-hmm. If it's not what they want to vote for, absolutely. Fantastic. They've got other great candidates to vote for.
Right.
And I've been so pleased with the way Fayette County local government handles itself. Every single opponent for myself and for my husband have been nothing but gracious. They've been kind. I would even say we work together. If we get to an event and somebody doesn't have this flyer or that flyer, it's a given that we're going to share that. I've had the doors opened for me and chairs pulled out for me and have just felt very well respected in the group that I'm in. And it's doable, because it's not that what I imagine politics sometime of mudslinging and digging up dirt on someone. It cannot be about anything but here's who I am for the position. And if that's what you want in the position, please vote for me.
Wow. I love that you said that. That was kind of leading into the next question that I wanted to ask you. You know, I think that I hear people say, and honestly, I've probably even been guilty of thinking this before or voicing this at some point, but you know, the idea that politics and government are just corrupt systems. Why mm-hmm. would you waste your time with that? So mm-hmm. what would you say to somebody who's really in that place?
I would say, first of all, I understand. And if you want to talk about majority and percentages, you're probably right that the percentages don't look good for how much of it is self-seeking motivation and how people can benefit themselves and their parties and their ideas versus benefiting the people that they're supposed to be serving. But I would also say, please don't let that discourage you, and know that it for local government, and I'm telling you this from a learning curve, from you know, putting my hat in the ring, not knowing what to expect, that you have really good people in Fayette County that are running for office. And if you want to just vote for local offices, that would be a step where I think you could get away from corruption, at least as it is today. And then the second thing I would say is, God puts leaders in position, and sometimes those leaders are well-equipped to lead us towards godly things, and sometimes they're not. And there's examples in the Bible repetitively of leaders that God allowed to be put into the position they were put in, sometimes as a form of punishment or as a wake-up call to the people, or just as your behaviors are resulting in this type of leadership, and that's on you, and that's on your sinful ways. And so, if you are feeling, you know, the conflicted way of I'm having to vote for the lesser of two evils, I would just say, focus on the parts that are most important to you. And if there are no good candidates, you know, you can even encourage people that, you know, it doesn't have to be you. I think, you know, God calls us all to different things, but being informed of who's running and which offices are important to you is a great start. You don't have to know that whole ballot. I would not recommend voting on races that you don't know anyone. It would be better to leave it blank, because otherwise you could be promoting something that doesn't share your values. But if you just wanted to pick one office that's on this ballot coming up, I would highly recommend starting in a place that way. And I think you'll see some really good opportunities to engage in politics without feeling like you're in the middle of a corrupt system.
That's such good words. Those are such good words. Thanks, Jamie. What are some things that you are learning in this process? I know you've already been sharing some, but mm-hmm. I would love to hear just more about, I'm imagining every day you're learning something and about yourself, about the Lord, and obviously about politics in general, but just share a little bit more about that.
Great. when I talk about being this one-on-one relationship person, it's so true. And so that intimidating piece of having to meet people and, you know, we're going to go to this additional event after we've been to these other events, meeting people, it can feel exhausting and it can feel like this, well, you know, can I do this one more time today? And God's been really faithful to give me the strength that I need. And when I've been able to do, you know, to go ahead and say, this is the hard work moment. This is where I'm going to go do for me. This is the hard work of going to another engagement to meet more people. The people I am meeting are so wonderful. And I think for someone that cares about relationships like I do, it's kind of been a gift that I didn't expect of a lot of friendships that I didn't even know the people before I was running for office. And we've been supported by old friends and new friends. And it's been a pleasure. And all of those new friends won't vote for us, but they'll still be our friends after the election. And that really is a surprise gift that I didn't expect when I was thinking I'll try this hard work. Another way that God's leading me is just in his faithfulness. When he calls you to something, he's going to equip you. And I hope I've said it, and I want to say again, it truly does not matter in my relationship with God and my family what the outcome of the election is. I know God put me on this path, and he has just given me what I needed in the moment that I needed it all along. And so whatever path you're on, whatever that looks like, it could be in the simplest tasks of the day, or it could be in something really big and exciting that you're stepping into, God is going to equip you. He's not going to push you out there and nudge you in a direction and then turn his back on you. And he's shown up in ways that I didn't expect and that I'm just so thankful to him for.
I love that. Jamie, this has been so refreshing, I think is the word that just came to mind. Just, I think, to see a picture of how it can be different. And how politics is not outside of the realm of the redemption of God. And so I love your perspective. I love Craig's perspective. And it's been an honor to have you and just to hear your thoughts today. And thank you for just sharing your heart with us.
Thanks for having me, Whitney. It's been fun.
And now I actually know who you are. Did you think I was the weirdest person ever that time?
You were so convinced that it was me that I was kind of second guessing myself. Like, I don't think we met. But then I was like, well, she was really cute about it. So here we go.
Well, look what the cat dragged in.
Where do you come up with this stuff?
I don't know.
It's like you've been reading, like, our kids' like books or something.
No, it's just whatever comes to mind whenever I press record, that's the first thing that I say.
That's dangerous.
Well, so far it's been pretty PG.
yeah, for the most part. Okay, what do you have for me? I'm ready.
Have you noticed that there's a theme to these questions?
They're ridiculous.
No. Well, yes. The first question is always ridiculous and nonsensical.
Then the next one is
the second,
like,
question
meaningful.
Is usually thought-provoking.
Agreed.
And productive.
One that you would think I would ask people.
Yes.
The first one is a Tim question. The second one is a Whitney question.
Whoa, they're both coming from me. What are you talking about? They're both Tim questions. One's the pensive side of Tim.
Okay.
The other is the comedian.
Comedian with the two ends.
Sure.
Are you French now?
The first question is, do you think artificial intelligence will end up harming or benefiting humanity?
I need a clear definition of what artificial intelligence entails. Like, what all does it actually, like, is that Siri?
Yeah. Yeah, things like Siri and
robots.
Alexa, robots, yeah, Tesla, the automatic driving cars, things like that. Anything that a computer does for you that you don't have to think about.
Is artificial intelligence.
Artificial intelligence, yeah. But think about think about artificial intelligence and like where it's going, because it's really sped up in the past, just in the past like 3 to 5 years.
Where is it going?
You tell me. That's what I want to know.
Well, I have always, this is a funny question, because you've always been on the side of the spectrum of like, it's amazing. Oh my gosh, we can have Alexa like turn on our backyard lights, and we can have, you know, like these cool gadgets that do all these kinds of things. And, you know, and I'm always like, meh, like, get it out of our house. Like, I don't trust it, you know? So, I mean, I feel like my tendency is to lean more towards like, I don't love what this stuff does to us, because I feel like we're already such a comfort driven society and a, you know, a short term, quick gratification, you know, prime 2-day shipping, I want what I want now, you know, kind of a mentality. And so, you know, a lot of artificial intelligence, based on your definition, is geared towards making life super comfortable and just very cush. And
that's just, you're just saying that because you're a Luddite. You don't like technology in general.
Well, you asked me the question. So I don't think it's all bad. I just think that it just kind of enables, that maybe is the right word for it. It enables our tendency towards that kind of self-centered, luxury-driven kind of comfort-seeking culture.
But isn't it, I mean, aren't those conveniences a benefit? I guess that's what I'm asking. Like,
yeah, but at the end of the day, they just make us more self-centered and more easily offended by the slightest thing, because we're depending on all of these machines and devices that we expect to serve us. And when they don't, because they don't always work, you know, then we are angry and frustrated, when really, you know, in the not so distant past, we didn't depend on those things and we were fine. You know, we weren't missing out on anything, and now we're dependent on those things. And so we're, you know, our life is just, you know, thrown, you know, into a different direction when all these things aren't working, they're all broken, you know. It's like,
but you gotta admit, if there was a robot, an AI that you threw all of our household's dirty laundry into,
yeah, that would be,
and it spit out folded clean laundry and put it in our closets for us, that would be amazing.
That's true. I wouldn't say that was bad. I would actually say that was probably straight from the Holy Spirit.
So you're speaking out of two sides of your mouth.
No, just depends. If it's,
oh my gosh, if it benefits me.
Yeah, exactly. If it, you know, if it helps free me up to do,
oh my goodness,
what, you know, all the good stuff I'm supposed to,
okay,
do.
So if you were in a job, we don't really commute much in our little town, but if you were in a job where you had an hour commute, you know, two ways, twice a day,
yeah,
and you could have a Tesla that could get you there without you having to actually drive, which would free you up. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about freeing you, mm-hmm, up, right, with the laundry example.
Right.
A Tesla would free you up to be able to have more conversations or do more ministry or whatever while you're,
yeah,
simultaneously getting from point A to point B. Would that not be a benefit?
I mean, yeah, I guess you could argue that it would be. I don't know. I'm just thinking about that book that I read this year by John Mark Comer called Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. If you haven't read that book and you're listening, you should read that book. But it, you know, I mean, I feel like he talks about a lot of those things in there, that ironically, we've invented all of these things to free us up, and yet, you know, 150, 200 years ago, the average American slept, I think one of the stats in that book is more like 11 hours a night, because we didn't have all these devices that kept us awake. And so we went to bed with, you know, the sun setting, and we got up with the sun rising. And now the average American gets closer to like 7 hours of sleep a night, because we keep ourselves up with all of these devices and things. So that's kind of the irony, that, you know, I think that in theory, these things are good, and these things, can create a lot of good, you know, opportunities or free us up in these different ways. But are we inclined to actually use them in the right way? Like,
or I think that's the ultimate question is how are we using the AI, the robot, the whatever.
Yeah.
How are we stewarding that well?
Yeah.
And what are we using it for? Because I don't think any of them are inherently bad.
Yeah,
or negative things. I think it's all about what you're doing with the time that it affords you, maybe.
Yeah.
Or the convenience that it affords you.
For sure. Yeah. Wow, that one went really deep.
Yeah. Who knew?
Who knew?
AI.
That was supposed to be your goofy question. We just took it real deep.
Okay, speaking of deep, if you could snap your fingers and solve one humanitarian crisis, which one would you pick?
Oh, man, that's so hard. I think the beauty queen answer is, like, world hunger. But, oh, man, maybe it would probably be something in the area of, like, sex trafficking, human slavery, just knowing that people are taken advantage of against their will and used. I would think of that. I think about like persecution of Christians. That would be one.
You just named two.
Okay. Well, I'm just, I mean, it's a very deep question. How are you supposed to pick one? I mean, oh, how can you pick?
Yeah, I picked one.
But you're not going to tell us.
No, I'm not going to tell you. I mean, back to our earlier question, maybe AI would fix all of that.
I'm going to tell you right now, it won't. It will not. It will not.
No, I think Jesus coming back is probably the only thing that's going to fix it.
I know. But I really think abuse of power is like a lot of those. It incorporates a lot of those. Like, yeah. If you could somehow take the people out of power who are abusing power, whether it's people who are actual abusers, sex traffickers, people who are persecuting believers, or the situation in Ukraine, you know, you think about that. But the ironic thing is that God actually is powerful enough to do that. As humans, we can't do that. And yet, God sovereignly has chosen not to do that. So one day he will. Not yet, though. So
I don't know. All right, well, we'll end it there on a high note.
Yeah.
Good night. Chew on that for a little bit, guys. Let us know if you come up with a solution.
Seriously.
To find show notes for this and past episodes, or to engage on a deeper level, you can go to wovenministry.com/podcast. If you enjoy what you hear so far, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It helps listeners find and share this feed. If you'd like to tell us what you enjoyed about this podcast or ask your hard question, you can call us at 512-815-2446. That's 512-815-2446. You'll simply leave a voicemail with what's on your mind, and we might just include your voice on a future episode. Music and editing for the show is by Callan Brown. Recording and production by Tim Scarborough. I'm Whitney Scarborough, and we'll be back here with more very soon. Thanks for listening.